Blog Talk Radio.
Scott Enster Network. Get things together here. I apologize for anyone that has issues, you know, trying to listen to the show on Blog Talk. Blog Talk platform is not exactly state of the art. If you're familiar with the original Blog Talk, what the whole idea was that people could use phones to do the shows, and so they built it around a system that really isn't state-of-the-art for today, and so it has problems. But in the chat room, I posted what's called the short link, and that might help bring that up a little better. Also, when you bring up Blog Talk, you'll notice that there's a tab in the right upper corner, and that'll drop down another menu that is for posting that particular show. It's the HTML, but it has a window in it. So I don't know if that'll work for you, but hopefully between the two, that'll work out. I'm also working hard in taking some of the shows and making turning them to YouTube videos. So, and that takes a lot of work. It's I would do more for them, but what you're seeing takes about 4 to 5 hours per show to do that. Of course, I'm not sitting there the whole time. I set it up, and then it has to render, has to upload. It's just a lot of work. It's amazing. But I've got about 50 different YouTube videos out there now. So hopefully that can keep you busy. I wanted to mention, too, that still continuing on KFNX in Phoenix. And the feedback's been good, so I'm going to continue with that. And hopefully that'll bring in a lot more. The goal is to actually get on the day show. The reason, night's okay, but here's the thing with AM radio, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, but propagation, radio waves and then ourselves, they, at nighttime, because of the atmospheric conditions, they'll travel, you know, basically, if you put out 50,000 watts, you know, it's going to go to the next country. And so at nighttime, they take the power and they'll drop it down anywhere from 100 to 250 to 500 versus 50,000. And so the coverage, obviously, in the near surrounding area is not as great. And the reason they do that is because there's that same frequency would be available in other states. And so at nighttime, because of the propagation, the atmospheric conditions, which it's called skip, you know, if you're familiar with CB radio, then they would all interfere with each other. That's why when you're listening to AM radio, you can hear stations in other states kind of come and go. And if they were at full broadcast, you would think they were local. And in the old days, they used to do that. So the idea is to eventually get on day, and then I'll have a much larger audience. And that would actually cover not just Tucson, but actually would broadcast right down into Mexico. And of course, in that particular area, a lot of them are English-speaking. If you noticed, I opened up the chat room, and so I'm going to take questions and anything that you may have, just kind of winging it here. It takes a lot to do everything, especially with the deliverances. You know, I don't just do the shows, I do deliverances. So I'm on the phone all day long with everyone, and then I've got a lot of European, you know, Germany, Switzerland, England calls to make, and so that can take me into the late hours. Generally, I don't get up too early because I'm up so late, but so I'm just busy and I'm trying to get everything done. And then tomorrow I'll be doing the KFNX show. I mentioned last night about JFK to 9/11 video, and William, one of our listeners, had recommended it, and I took the time to watch all three some odd hours. And Julie's been watching it too, and I really recommend it. I mean, it answers so much that has to do with the JFK murder and the murder of those in New York City called 9/11, and how far back 9/11 actually was, you know, thought of. When they built the Twin Towers, that was already in play. And I've got other sources that state the same thing. And then we look at, you know, things that go all the way back to World War II, the Bushes, Prescott Bush, Bush Sr., Bush Jr., which we've got lots of videos, and I've got them on my YouTube channel. You'll see it under the playlist of reptilian shapeshifting. You'll see both Sr. and Jr. with reptilian eyes, snake eyes, plain as day. And so what's going on? Well, you know, they go back to the Black Nobility. They go back many, many thousands of years when the first corruption took place. And so this is a bloodline that's been kept all along. The royals in London, those at Windsor, they're not really Windsors. This whole thing is a lie and a facade. And the only reason that they've gotten away with it is because Satan's behind it. Man himself couldn't pull this off. There's no way. And so with the help of the spirit realm, the help of fallen angels, and of course the master plan of Satan, we have what we have today. And so if anyone doesn't think that there's reptilians, you know, you'll change your mind. I just need to patiently wait, because things are happening. I'm seeing more and more video being sent to me. I'm investigating more. I've seen manifestations myself. And, you know, in 2000, when I sat in front of a gal during a deliverance ministry for the first time, it was the first time I ever saw her. When I walked in, I sat down, and I just happened to be paired with a gal, excuse me, that was a gypsy, pure-blooded gypsy. And her whole family had been practicing witchcraft for hundreds of years. And when the deliverance minister at the time started to pray, I saw the Bible come alive. I saw the ancient ones come up in this young girl, young mother, and she was no longer the nice, polite gal. Now it was something that wanted to kill all of us, something that had intelligence to the point that it was trying to outsmart all of us at the same time. And the air was so thick, you could have cut it with a knife. Whenever you have full witchcraft, and I'm talking about the big boys, I'm not talking about the grunts, the little ground workers. I'm talking about the ones that really are the upper group. It's amazing how you can feel its presence. Now that I've been doing this so long, don't ask me why. I have no idea, but for some reason my left arm, the hair on my left arm, will always raise up whenever witchcraft is around. And or the worshiping of Baphomet and Freemasonry. For instance, a few years ago, I was, it seems like every time I walked through that foyer at the church I used to go to, I would get stopped and the darnest things would come up. So they asked me to come over and talk to this person, and so I'm talking to him and I'm kind of walking around a little bit, you know, as they're speaking, and the hair on my left arm stood up. And I turned to the gentleman that they wanted me to talk to, and I said, "Who's the Mason?" And he had kind of a bewildered look on his face, and he said, "Well, I am." I said, "You are?" He said, "Yeah, I joined him a couple months ago." And, you know, okay, this is supposed to be a professing Christian. Well, what this guy was experiencing was so amazing in his house. All the paranormal, all the supernatural was literally terrorizing him and his wife. Okay? So there was things running through the house all hours of the night, the wood floors making all the banging, pulling on the kids' feet, trying to pull them out of bed, assaulting the wife sexually, and whatever was assigned to him was always trying to shove something up his nose that smelled like rotting dead flesh. I mean, you talk about being terrorized. It was just unbelievable. And so we went through a couple deliverances, got him to renounce, and gave him, you know, some education on, you know, what's going on. And there, you know, there was victory. Now, I haven't seen the guy since, but, you know, he had his own tools to work with now that he knew a little bit about. And I want you to remember, this is a church where the pastor later, years later, said in front of the congregation, there will be no deliverances in this church. So if that had been in place and I had not been there to pray for that guy, where would that guy be today? Do you know where he'd be? Because in the Freemason oaths, okay, now remember, he was a Christian who didn't know any better, and he fell into this, you know, the camaraderie of the men and the whole thing. I get it. But the demons would have selected him out. That's why they were attacking him so fiercely, was because he was a Christian. So they were pounding on him. Now, death by hanging, death by choking, suicide, and various other deaths are part of the rituals, part of the oaths. And I'm here to tell you that I don't believe he would be alive today. I really believe that. I don't think he'd be around. Now, like I say, I'm just going to move around here a little bit. Now, Muslims. Now, when we say Muslims, what do we mean? Okay, because obviously there's people who look like them, or what we think they look like, you know. And you know, when I went to Taiwan, as soon as I spoke, everybody immediately knew I was American. But at the time, they couldn't tell if I was English or from Australia, because there was a lot of them there that they used as teachers, because they try and have English taught in the education system. It's funny to think of them teaching English. So we can have an individual that may look one way or another. Now, you need to remember, they're coming across the border because they sort of blend in. You know, if they're wearing the clothes and they let the hair grow and the facial hair and everything else, it is difficult to tell. So it isn't on the outside, because we can have people who convert to this, and we see this all over. And so what takes place in the heart? Now, I've always said, now always remember what I'm saying here, that as long as you draw breath, you can repent. But there's a lure and an iniquitous pull to pull them into a false doctrine that ensnares them, which is referred to as a pagis. And what that means is that they're brought into a demonic situation that is transferring demons to them more and more, kind of like let's see, if you were to transfer liquid from one container over to another in a slow drip, and then finally all the liquid on one side has migrated over to the destination. And so the individuals who are in this at a certain point in time do not come back. Now, that's the ones that we see who are beheading. Those are the ones who are raping. Now, unfortunately, there's a lot of incest, a lot of inbreeding for those that are over in the other countries that are of that religion, of that culture. All right. So once you have that take place, we need to understand in the Old Testament this wasn't allowed because anything that was close to the mother's blood was forbidden. This is why it needs to be, you know, a couple of cousins out. Because this inbreeding can start to cause mental illness, can start to cause a form of retardation. Now, insanity is always in play when it comes to this. Because the behavior of the people that we're seeing do these horrible acts over there, which are starting to happen here, and Obama needs to be arrested. Obama needs to be removed from office. He needs to be charged accordingly to his crimes, and he needs to be taken before the courts and found guilty, period. Okay? He is destroying this country. That means, ladies and gentlemen, that you, your spouse, your children, your grandchildren are going to fall prey to Sharia law. Now, is that the whole main goal of what the New World Order is doing? No. They want to cause chaos. They want to cause destruction. They want to bring things into civil unrest, that martial law, the blue helmets, the United Nations to come in and restructure, to completely take away all the laws that we have and make it a dictatorship. That's the whole plan. And in the systematic elimination of people, because, you know, what are they going to do with me? What are they going to do with most of you listening? They want the young ones, the ones that are already being programmed. Now, this transgender garbage is another psyops. It's another social engineering to cause disruption. Whenever you take children and you give them anything other than the absolute, here's one which you need to remember about kids, and most of you know this because you got your parents, and if you have any kids, maybe this will be new to you. One of the reasons that kids want to push us, you know, they want something or they won't take no for an answer, and you got to put your foot down. They thrive in an environment where the definition of right and wrong is defined. They want to know what they can and can't do, because when they're in a world where anything is up in the air, their little minds, their little spirits are in chaos. Okay? They may think they're in control. They may have that, you know, illusion, but, you know, because, you know, some kids think they know it all and everything else, but in reality, they are their worst enemy. Now, a part of them knows this, okay? This is part of what God has put into them. And so without any absolute, without any foundation, without any cornerstone of right and wrong, a personality disorder starts to manifest, okay? Now, what does that mean? Well, a personality disorder is a hardwiring of an individual's mind. So when you have a standard set within a community, then you have things that are acceptable and then things that are not acceptable. And in our behaviors and in our personalities, we come to conform to that. Okay? Now, there's always going to be somebody who's a little bit of a wild card. It's going to take some time to, you know, to come around. And I'm not talking about indoctrination. I'm talking about civil peace. Instead of lawlessness, you have law. You have order. Okay, so we have to get along with each other. And in order to get along with each other, we have manners. We are forgiving. We have things that we do for each other. We show love. We show respect. Okay, when you take all of that away, then as the person matures and grows, or lack of maturity, then this foundation is not instilled in them. This is why you can see people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and all the way up that are basically a problem child, because the real foundation has never been set in them as to right and wrong. This is why the prisons are full. You know, fathers leaving the family, The sons needing the father. The boys really need that. They need to get nailed down. They really do. Okay, they're wired anyways, right? You know, they're all hyper, and then they start going through puberty, and the testosterone starts getting released. I mean, what a bomb, right? And if you don't put them in the right direction, if you don't get them in a steady, and the truth and the understanding, just as Scripture tells us, you know, also bring them up in the way of the Lord, that, you know, and if they depart, they'll eventually come back. Without that foundation, then you have what I'm going to be referring to as a personality disorder. It means they can't get along with anybody. They'll never be able to hold a job. They're not responsible. They can't get up in the morning. You know, everything about them is just wrong. And then they enter into marriage. Maybe they, you know, they've given some looks or something. And let's just take a male, and he's able to, you know, to influence his way into a relationship with somebody that didn't know any better, because when you're young, you're basically stupid. And, you know, it's through the time and the hardships that we learn. And that's not true for everybody, but hopefully that's the case. Then now they're into a relationship, and now they're starting to have kids. And so this is the whole plan of what the New World Order is doing, is they're robbing these kids of maturity and the foundation of who they are through this transgender, through all the Common Core, through all the garbage that has been placed upon our kids and grandkids, that they themselves, as they come up, will be a problem. They'll either be willing to conform, but they'll still be rebellious. And so there's a place for them that they're either going to know that the only way they're going to eat is to follow a group of people, and or they'll be destroyed. So what have they done? They then have drawn the line, and it's much easier for them to tell who is and who isn't going to go along with things. Now, you take us, for instance, in our age group. You know, I'm going to be 60, some of you are 50, some of you are 40, and there may be some 30s and 20s in there. But we've, you know, I'm who I am. And the only reason I would go along with any of this is to keep my head on. But you know what? I'll never forget when I moved up here to Coeur d'Alene. I went to work for a company, and this guy, who was about the same age as me, was the manager. And he said to me, he looked me over, and he said, "Yeah, you probably got about another 10 good years in you." And that was 10 years ago. So I guess I'm broken, and I need to be put on the shelf. Well, you know, I know what he was saying, but across the board, that may be true to some degree. But most people today are in much better shape. They look younger. And I think that they're capable of doing a lot more work than things in the past. Because it seemed like, as a kid growing up, that when somebody was 40, man, they looked like they were 80. I don't know. I guess the life was just tough, right? Well, here we are today with someone like myself and those even younger. We're set in our ways to a point that we're not going to be able to be pushed around other than to save our life. But that means that they cannot trust us. That means that since we are older, wiser, and able to assess circumstances and process them, then we could be rebellious by then gathering the less in their intellectual status, and then becoming a group that is a problem. So what would be the best answer? I mean, this, I have to admit, this is how I would look at it, to eliminate them. I mean, you know, I did the show Spring Cleaning the other, I think last week or the week before. There's a point in time where you just get rid of things. Because it's just a ball and chain, you know. If you're moving, you don't want to move everything, because you've acquired all this junk, and if you haven't used it in a year, then you'll never use it. Well, it's the same thing with your life. It's the same thing with those things that are in you. We need to get rid of them. And that's exactly the way the New World Order looks at us. And especially if we're Christians. Now, why do they want to go after Christians specifically the way they are? Well, how about because the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus Christ is their biggest threat? Not bullets, not manpower, but the blood of Christ. Because these people are full of demons. These people are demon-possessed. They're gone. And by the way, as we've been pointing out, and Julie, that they're not even human. They may be a percentage, they may be this, they may be that, but do they have a soul? See, you know, we were talking about this, and this is very crucial for you to understand, and I've been really hitting this. I did the last show on KFNX. That's what that subject is about. If you haven't heard it yet, then go to my YouTube video and look at the last show. And the point of it is that if the creatures, the hybrids, the reptilians, the insectoids, you know, the amphibians, whatever they are, right? You know, people can argue all day, whatever. I don't care. The point of it is they're produced out of an abomination. The Lord didn't sanction them. You know, for instance, okay, I remember years ago when the Chinese were really coming into the market. They were selling oil filters in America under the Ford brand. But the difference was that it had two O's. So if you weren't paying attention, the way that the package was laid out, it looked like the standard Ford oil filter you would get for your truck. Well, this wasn't a cloth. This wasn't a ceramic, this wasn't a metal, this was a sand filter. Okay? Now, a sand filter can work fine, but the problem is that the grid or the media that's holding it, if it ruptures, guess what happens? You now have an engine full of sand. So you can imagine how disastrous that is, right? Well, did Ford make it? No. Someone else did. Did it look like Ford? Yeah. Was it labeled like Ford? Yes. But was it? No. All right? Do you see what I'm getting at here? Did God sanction it? Did God make it? Is his logo on it? Is his seal of approval? Since he's the Father of spirits, did God put a spirit in it? I don't think so. So we're dealing with a counterfeit. We're dealing with something that was derived from evil, okay? So if it didn't come from God, then it's evil. And you need to draw that line. You need to make that distinction now. You need to understand this. It's very important because we're going to start seeing a lot more of these. These are going to be in our face. And those, you know, the regular churched Christian that's learning absolutely nothing, I can assure you that these program, you know, clone pastors that are in the church are going to, you know, go along with the project, and they're going to teach the congregation that we're to save them, we're to witness them, we're to receive them, we're to love them. Now, when it's a child, oh, what a tough situation. What a tough... You wait. They're going to tug on our heartstrings with kids. All right? Now, we're not bringing judgment on them. We're not bringing condemnation. We're simply understanding who they are. Otherwise, I'm not going to be assaulting kids that are reptilians. That's not what I'm getting at. But the point of it is that you don't receive them. Okay, let's take a step back. All right, Scott. what you're saying is that you need that you want us to abandon children. You want us to but I want you to understand this. In Afghanistan and Iraq, what do the Taliban, what do ISIS, what do they do with children? They put bombs on them. They put knives on them. They get them as lure and bait. So anybody who's a father, anybody who has a heart for kids will accept these children, bring them in. The next thing you know, death strikes. Happens all the time. They use the children as the means of bringing in death to people. So this whole world is so upside down, and you have not seen anything yet. You know, and one thing about these shows, I was thinking about this today, it seems like, you know, the information we give is, you know, not the most cheeriest, right? I'm not here, you know, I'm not Joel Osteen, that's for sure. And but at the same time, the time is so short that I'm not here as entertainment. You know, I'm far from that anyways. I haven't got the personality for it. But it's hard to keep giving this, you know, information that isn't uplifting. But at the same time, and I had to think about this, but it is. You know why? Because the more you know, you know, one of the things about arachnophobia is that when you see a spider, it's the unknown that brings terror in. So what we're doing is we're giving you the information so your you know, soul can absorb it and not be traumatized like a deer caught in the headlights that's going to get hit by a car because it doesn't know what to do. You're going to know what to do. So I guess this is a boot camp. I don't know, whatever you want to look at it. You know, this is the intelligence agency of the insurgency department of God's kingdom. I don't know, however you want to look at it. And, you know, and it's hard for people. They'll leave, you know, because it's overwhelming, and they'll process it. And then they start looking at Facebook, and they start seeing the post, and they start seeing that. And then they start realizing what Julie said and what I said. And next thing you know, the light bulb goes on. And then in their spirit, they decide that, you know what? I'm not going to take this. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm an heir to the kingdom. Jesus died on the cross for me. Why do I have to stand by a pit and fall in like they did in during World War II? I'm going to fight. And I'm going to fight in the spirit. And that's what we're trying to do. So a lot of times, you know, we say things that offend people. And, you know, it's there's a way of approaching things. You know, it's one of the things about being on air or doing anything that's public. Everything we say is recorded and documented, and we can't take it back. You know, we can make mistakes. You know, I fumble over my words sometimes, and believe me, half the time I'm exhausted when I come on here, and I know it shows in my voice, and I really try and not do that. Just got so much going on, but after thinking about it today, I made the choice. I'm just going to continue. I'm not going to stop and you know, do something that. That is just all good news for the day, I guess is what I'm getting at. And you know, you see good things all day. But you know what? When you look upon your child, when you look upon your spouse that you love very much, that's a good thing. Well, don't you want to protect that? Don't you want to make sure that that doesn't go away? And or that at least you tried to stop it? You know, it's amazing how many people that I've ministered to. And when I talk about ministering, counseling, I don't like using the word, but I get people who come in that have done things that have destroyed their marriages, people have even died, that, you know, they were drunk driving or on the job they did something, and the guilt is just tremendous, right? And they keep second guessing themselves. I should have did this, and I should have did. Especially people going through divorce. Man, that freight train of emotions is absolutely incredible. And I can remember it too. I can remember always thinking, well, I if I'd have done this, then that wouldn't have happened. And I should have, you know, second guessing yourself. It'll drive you crazy. And of course, you know, whenever that's in play, then the devil's in the details. So I'm just going to continue, because you know, as I was reading today, and I wasn't able to verify it, but I've seen it before, where Michelle Obama, you know, what promises that before they're out of the White House, that guns are all going to be confiscated. Can you imagine the mayhem of doing that? The very understanding of confiscating the guns, especially, okay, I'm in North Idaho. Right, I'm around a bunch of good old boys. You know, they'll open the door in their car and grab the deer and pull them in the car and skin it and have it ready before they get home. Okay, these guys are going to give up their guns? I don't think so. So I got to come up with another name for something that still has its parts, but yeah, isn't that amazing, people, that that's in the White House? You know, I said this years ago, when Clinton did what he did in the Oval Office, it was done. It was over with. He had defiled, okay, not that everything was in place perfectly anyways, but when you do things like he was doing and you do sexual immorality in a position that's supposed to be leadership, that lets the big boys in. Okay? So with this gun confiscation that they want to do, what they're really saying is that martial law will be implemented to the 10th degree, that the blue helmets are going to be in here to do it, and it's going to be absolutely hell's going to break loose. There is no real gun confiscation in the United States. What it is a bloodbath. Now, they'll try and do the gun registration. That's what they did in Australia. And once they had the gun, people were submitting to it. And once that took place, they did it in Germany too. Once that took place, then they knew who had the guns. Now, of course, does it mean everyone's going to put their guns down? No, of course not. That's why they bring in their militia, their troops, and they start doing all the stuff that, door to door. Yeah, I'm looking at the chat room. Boy, it's really active tonight. In fact, it's going so fast, looks like Morse code. I do Morse code. I had to learn Morse code when I got my amateur radio license. I'm not any good at it. But I had to at least do the 5 words, and then for general I had to do 13 words a minute, and that was quite a few years ago. Morse code's becoming more popular again, and you know why? Because there are people who understand that cell phones and hardline phones and internet are going down, and that's going to be one of the best communications, or the only communication, between anybody who's still alive. That's why I am. In fact, I may do it this weekend on live stream. I'm trying to set up the YouTube. I'm working more with YouTube now. But see, the problem with YouTube is it belongs to Google, and they can throw the switch at any time and take it away from me. So I chose live stream, which is a paid service with their own servers. That's really the only reason I did that, is that way I had better control of it. I don't have a third party looking over me that can just turn it off. So what I'm getting at is I may do a show this weekend and show my radio equipment that I have accumulated over the years, and show you and explain to you why I have it, what I can do with it. And I've got one thing here that's referred to as a man pack. And what it is you can carry all the radios on your back like a backpack. But it isn't just short-range communications. These are radios that will talk around the world. And, of course, they'll do the FM, like police radio, fire radios. They'll do the local communications as well. So it's virtually a mobile command center is what it is, all built onto one pack. And I finally finished it. It took me a while. And over the years, I've accumulated all the parts, but I'm ready to go. And so there you go. I'm going to do that demonstration of it this weekend. And then I'll do a YouTube video of it too, though. All right. ICOM 376. Wow. We got some amateurs out there. Because only someone that's an amateur radio operator would know that. Thank goodness. Would that be Scott Cannon? Okay. All right. Like I say, I'm just kind of flying by the seat of my pants here. Yeah, human trafficking. That'll tie in with the Muslim issue. One thing about Muslims is they ensnare, they take people and enslave them, including children. And so that's one of the things that I'm bringing up about them being demon-possessed. Fathers, let me speak to you, okay? I'm a dad. I'm a grandfather. Could you imagine one of these varmints getting hold of your grandchildren? You know what they're going to do. And if you got a daughter, you know, it doesn't matter if she's 4, 5, 6, doesn't matter how old she is, they'll get married off. And you know what they're going to do. I just saw the death of a young girl. My gosh, what was she, somewhere between, was she 6 or something? And died during the honeymoon? Well, come on, people. See how sick these people are? Now, again, the mental order, the arrangement of the thought processes, as I mentioned earlier about personality disorders, the hardwiring, okay? Picture a control room. Okay, remember the old phone operators? They had these rooms and rooms and rooms of women that were on the phone, and all the connections were jacks, and they would unplug and plug it in and unplug and plug it in. Okay, that's your mind, but you know there's an order of things. Now, picture somebody that comes in that's like a supervisor, and he's out of his gourd. And he goes around and he pulls the plugs and he shoves them in anything, you're going to have everybody talking to everybody. People that didn't want to talk to some such and such and don't know who that is, right? Well, that's what demons are doing in these people's brains. They've defiled themselves to the point that they're incapable of ever coming back. You would have to go in and unplug all of those things because it is who they are. That's what a personality disorder is. That's why people don't come out of borderline personality disorder, just a small percentage. KF4WBY. Okay. KF7ZDT. That's the calls. It's funny, when I'm out with people, I haven't been on a date in a long time. A gal I dated years ago, and I met this guy, and I knew immediately he was a ham radio operator, and I said my call to him, and he said his call to me, and she said, I knew you were from another planet, as if it was some kind of secret code that we were giving each other, as we had recognized each other. It's funny. Where was I? Yeah, the manipulation of the brain and the mind is all by demons. And when people are at that point, ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand that they are demon-possessed. They're not coming back. And that's who's coming over here. That's who's got the White House. That's who's in the military. And I see that Obama is starting to federalize police agencies. Well, they've already been federalized to a point, but now they're going to be under the direct command of of probably the Department of Homeland Security or whatever spinoff that he's going to put into it. And you need to remember, when it comes to law enforcement officers, okay, been through this myself, okay, there needs to be a psych exam to make sure you're not nuts, okay? Now, sometimes they slip through and you get a bad officer. And today, you know, is a different story, but I'm talking about 20, 30 years ago. So now what we have is whatever they're doing for a test, the more bizarre and the more crazy you are, the more likely you're going to get the job. And you know, a lot of times people who come in law enforcement, they just want to wear the badge. It's a power thing, right? And so they used to try and weed them out, but that doesn't seem to be the case anymore. And so this military, because you remember that was what he was running on. That was one of his platforms, that he was going to make a bigger, stronger, more equipped than the U.S. military civilian. He called it a civilian army, police force. Well, that means these people basically are going to be the Muslims, and that means they're going to be the ones telling us what to do. We can't do this. We can't do that. Holy smokes! I mean, it's the insane herding all of us. You know, you take a bunch of cattle and you move them from one place to another, and you've got cowhands. You've got the cowboys, right? But you know, the idea is to get them from point A to point B in good shape, that they can bring a dollar at the market. That may be what they're planning on doing for us, to route us to the FEMA camps, but these people are nuts. You step out of line, they're going to shoot you. You step out of line, they're going to beat you up. You step out of line, they're going to rape you. That's what they're hiring. That's what they're bringing in. And again, they're demon-possessed. So, bottom line, why am I bringing all this up? We've talked about judging. We've talked about, Derek Prince in his book, you know, How, Why, When. What an incredible book to help us understand, because the church has failed to teach us what is our job here? Our job is to restore order. Our job is to make sure that the Word of God is what is established like a government, that everywhere you go is peace and love. But unfortunately, that doesn't take place. But in order to have peace, you've got to have people who are strong, who are able to stand against any threat of the enemy. And the churches have basically have taught us to stand down and not do that. And in order to assess a situation, to put it into a category that it's a threat, we need to judge. And by us being told not to judge, the enemy didn't just come in the back door. He came in the front and the back door, kicked the windows out, came down the chimney, and now we got him coming up through the toilet. And these people are raunchy. These people are demon-possessed. And now, let's make a stew here, all right? And let's throw a hybrid in, you know, clone. Let's throw in a reptilian. And then, you know, we take some salt and pepper, a representation of the demons. A little bit of fallen angel here and a little bit of demon here. Holy cow. So everything that we're looking at is so wrong, is so upside down, is so disgustingly, you know, it's an abomination. You know, when Jesus was on the cross and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I believe that what the theologians were saying are true, that the sins of the world were on him at that point, that God couldn't even look at him. There wasn't even a recognition that he was the Son. See, since God is of truth, since he's of honor, he's of righteousness. That when we see the scripture that light and dark can't be in the same place, that's what it's talking about. It's not saying that Christians can't have demons. It means we need to get the darkness out of us. The church has lied to you. They've put you in a position that you know, every time I answer the phone, and it's getting worse. God bless you people. Man, I was where you were at back in 2000. I was a mess. I was beat up so bad. But I made a choice. And when I saw the darkness, it was only the light that I wanted. Because I knew, not out of survival, but I knew that it was right. And so I got myself cleaned up, did the deliverances, you know, did everything I was supposed to do, filled myself up with the Word, lived and breathed Jesus like a sponge. And the demons would just flee because they can't stand Jesus. And once that came to a point, and like I said in the beginning of the broadcast, you know, that I was in front of this gal who was so full of demons because of the witchcraft in her family that when the demons manifested and I saw the witchcraft demon come up in this lady, this young girl, I told you that I saw the Bible come alive. I saw the demons that Jesus was casting out. I saw the insanity. I saw the murder. I saw the idolatry. I saw the abomination. I saw the murdering of the children. All in this deliverance. Fall under the thumb of a 110-pound blonde girl who you would have thought was somebody that was trained to go in one of these rings because the demons feared her. Because she had Jesus. Because she had renounced, she had confessed, she had asked forgiveness for her sins, and the demons in her were cast out when she came in, and now she was carrying a big stick that the demons were absolutely terrified of from a 110-pound gal. You should have seen it. I stood there in awe. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. How come I didn't see this in the church before? How come every church I went to when I tried to save my marriage, they didn't know what to do? You know what I had one pastor say to me one time? Put a smiley face on the refrigerator so your wife can see it every day and make her smile. She was mentally ill, you moron. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And who's the victim of all this? Children. Who are they going after? Children. How many as a parent have ever heard their child get hurt and the child cries out? Terrifying, isn't it? I can remember one time I heard a scream come from my daughter's room and I basically kicked the door open. I thought for sure that somebody had come through the window and had a hold of my kid. I came in there ready to rip a head off. And it turned out to be a cricket. But the scream alone was enough to make me realize that in a moment, things can go bad. And this isn't a moment anymore. This has been a heads up for quite some time. And the fact that the church hasn't been doing their job has put you at a disadvantage. Now, thank God you're listening to us. You're doing your own research. You're praying. You're starting to cast out demons. You're starting to spiritually warfare. That's what's going to save us. If we'd have been doing that, Obama wouldn't be in office. Are you kidding? The New World Order, when they brought him up, you know, they've been grooming him for some time. He probably was one of 100. And like any good corporation, you interview, you test, you put them on the job and you keep an eye on them for a while to see how well they do. And then, some don't make the grade and you got to let them go. Well, somehow, out of all the people, Obama came through. Now, why do you think that is? Isn't because of his intelligence. And it's not because of his skin. It's got nothing to do with it. We're talking about somebody who knew that children, people, and the Americans would die, and he was willing to do it. You know, I had a friend that became an artist. He was on a scholarship and went to Arizona State University for law. And after the first semester or so, he dropped out. You know why? He said, "Scott, I can't lie. If I'm going to be an attorney, I'm going to have to lie." I said, "What do you mean?" "Well, I'm going to be going into court with a guy who I know is guilty, and I'm going to try and convince everyone else that he's not. I can't do that." And then it didn't really hit me until I started seeing how the law was structured. And he eventually, now he's an artist. How funny. So Obama was willing, when he came into the game, and whether he's clone number 37, the essence of who he is from the original core that they got the DNA from. So whether that's a clone or not, you can argue all day long. I don't care. The point of it is the man's evil. He's willing to allow people to perish, which means the destruction of children. And this is who's telling us what we can and can't do. This is who is bringing in all of these demonized people into this country. The one who wants to take our guns away from us. And then you got Hillary. Hillary's every bit of Obama. Actually worse. Remember, she's had many, many, many years to prove herself that she is nothing more than the Leviathan. She's destruction. She is Lilith the Night Hag. You ever heard of Lilith the Night Hag? I saw somebody posted something on that. Someone had written a book on it. And I have that spirit in my book too, because it's infant death syndrome. It's the crib death. Comes in and smothers the child. Lilith. Well, that's who Hillary is. Lilith the Night Hag. She can talk about loving kids all she wants. She's here to destroy them. Pretty bad stuff. All right. Well, I'm only going to go an hour. I didn't get through anything I really wanted to go through. Either way, I'm just glad you guys joined me tonight. Julie will be back on tomorrow for Wednesday, because I'm just on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then of course we need to remember that the children, this is a time that they're sacrificing the kids. So when we look at the Clintons, when we look at Obama, they've not only killed children, they've ate them. They've sodomized them. They've stabbed them. They've terrorized them, and then they drank their blood. See, that's a whole nother level of evil. That tells you that they're not human. because even humans at a certain point can't go too far. So just keep the kids in your prayers. I'm going to. In fact, I'll just close out with that. All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just again thank you for who you are. And Jesus, we thank you for what you did on the cross. And Holy Spirit, we're so glad you're here. And so, Father, as we lay these children at the cross, that in the problems, the issues, the abuse, the murdering, the sacrificing, Father, I know you see all things, and I know you weep and you cry, but it was you gave us the job. You had your son die so we could pick up the ball and run with it. And Father, we apologize that the church has dropped it. But there's a few of us here that are still willing to move forward. And so, Father, direct and guide us to what you would have us do. Direct and guide us in our prayers so those things that we say speak into the spirit realm. And as that's taking place, Father, just bless us as we wish to bless others. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right. If anyone has prayer requests, you can just email them in to me or save them. Yeah. Boy, the message board is really hot tonight. Well, you know, I don't know what else to say, people. You know what's going on. You know what you got to do. It is what it is. And those in the church who are sitting in the pews don't. So it's on our shoulders, huh? I took that responsibility a long time ago. And I've paid the price and will continue because the people that, you know, it's not easy doing this and trying to associate with other Christians. And you know, and most of you know what I'm talking about. You know, it's just frustrating. Anyways. All right. Before I finish, you know, when I take down the board here, I'll take down the names and then I'll pray for the people. So what you've posted, I'll go through it here in a moment. And so, all right. All right. God bless everyone, and we'll see you tomorrow night. Good night.